We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It is Chuck and Winkler here on a Monday morning, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery. Chuck Freeman, alongside me, Ryan Horvath. Bart will be back with you guys tomorrow as he uses one of his off days for some load management. Tough weekend for Bart, so he's probably just taking it easy today. Got to be a little excited, though, because Team USA, a 3-0 victor yesterday over Chile, and they make the knockout round in the Women's World Cup here in 2019. I was a little disappointed, Frames. I'm not going to lie to you.
How's that player?
So the Team USA women's soccer team, they win their opening match 13-0. And a lot of criticism because they were celebrating after each goal. And they just beat the hell out of a team, which growing up, my dad always said, you don't want them to score, keep them out of the end zone. Or you don't want them to talk trash, keep them out of the end zone. And so they make 7 changes to their starting lineup from their opening game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, which is good for their depth. Also, the reality that Chile is a pretty weak team, let's be honest. They win this one 3-0. They're favored by 4.5 goals, over-under at 5 goals. I'm expecting an explosion. Maybe toss a little money on the over and Team USA to cover. They do neither because they wanted to, in my opinion, and don't get me wrong, the goaltender for Chile, can't remember her name or probably pronounce it to be quite honest. She was amazing. She had some great stops there in that second half. But the problem was, like Alex Morgan, who scored 5 goals in the opener, she's not even on the field. Like, you went with all these different players. Like, Kari Lloyd scored, and it was kind of cool because, you know, they were taking a lot of flack for celebrating, so she just did a little golf clap, which was kind of cocky. I like the move. Mm-hmm. But you only went 3-0. Like, rout them. Destroy them. We're the number one country. You beat them 12-0. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Running up the score, anybody who thinks running up the score is a bad thing, I mean, there's obvious running up the scores, and if your talent level is so much better than another team's, big deal. Big deal.
Right.
I mean, don't be in the World Cup. And we're talking the World Cup. We're talking countries against countries here. I mean, running up the score, we're not talking Little League here. We're not talking about a JV high school basketball game.
Right.
We're talking about countries going to war, well, in a World Cup, okay? World Cup, anything goes. So, you know, big deal.
And that's the thing. Like, growing up, there's always rules. There's the slaughter rule, right? 10-run rule in mm-hmm. baseball in Little League. You can't beat a team by more than 10 runs after, where I played, it was 5 innings. You have the, you can't press in the second half of a game in hoops growing up if you're beating the hell out of a team. You have to drop back and play a defense and let them back in the game, this and that. When we're talking pro sports or international sports or anything like that at the professional level, I mean, like, look at the NFC Championship game a couple years back for the Packers. You have to step on their throats when you get a chance, because if you let a team back at all, and that's what Alex Morgan said. She's like, we would have been disrespectful if we didn't tag on the score. Like, if you just show mercy on a team, I feel like that's more disrespectful. Like, oh, here, get back in the game, Chile. You know what I'm saying? And so man, you just got to slaughter teams when you can, because how many comebacks have we seen and improbable things in sports in the last 10 years?
Yeah, I mean, the United States has been on the short end of a few of those.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're going, you put in the hard work, why should you, if you're a starter and you're a good player, why should you have to be on the bench because you're a good player and you're so talented that you're too talented to not play? That's not a right thing. Okay. If you're talented, you're in the World Cup. You've worked all your life to play in the World Cup. And I don't understand when people say, well, hey, the bench people, they work hard too.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares,
mm-hmm.
man? If you are the most talented player, I don't care who you're playing, you should start. You should play most of the game.
I just feel like we get softer as a whole every year. Like, it used to be I didn't want to coach like when my brother was playing in grade school, basketball and baseball, I didn't even want to coach anymore because you have to deal with the parents. Why isn't my kid playing? And, you know, I'm all for sportsmanship at that level. But when we're talking pro football, like the NFL, like if a guy wants to you know, pull out a bag of popcorn or sign a football, like I'm all for the celebration. So Team USA, if you're going to score 13 goals, celebrate after every single one of them. You don't want them to do it, then stop them from putting the goal in the net. 799-1250, a lot going on today. Despite no Game 7 of the NBA Finals, Anthony Davis heading to the Lakers. Brewers avoid a sweep. They get one yesterday in San Francisco. A lot going on. We head out to the north side to talk with Ram. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Ram.
Hey, what's going on, Ryan and Chuck? Hey,
Chuck, yeah, Ram.
You might have to add a new segment called a Ryan Sports Review. This guy is, man, he's on it, Chuck.
Thanks, Ram. I appreciate that.
I'm not trying to say nothing about you and Bart. You just got a, you know, a different narrative. I like it.
All right. What do you like about Ryan? Horvat. I don't think I've ever called you Ryan. Horvat. Horvy.
My buddies actually, they're like, man, we've never actually called you Ryan. We didn't even know you had a first name.
So what do you like?
I like his narrative on stuff. He, you know, he's able to give a 4 or 5 talking points out on something, get callers, you know, people listening, some different perspectives, maybe some different views on some different things, some different sports, and he talks about some of the stuff he's doing over the weekend. And if you're driving or you're listening at home, it may make you think like, oh man, who's this guy?
Yeah,
you need to bring him back.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That's why he's
here.
Run it back.
Hey, run it back, like the Bucks.
Harvey's going to be here Thursday and Friday filling in for me.
Oh, for real? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Not trying to say he's going to take anybody's job.
Hey, if he does, he does.
I like my job. I like you.
If you take the job, go ahead.
Yeah. I'll say this about the Packers, and this is about the NBA. Whenever you get a new coach, new GM, there's going to be some changes, got to make some adjustments. I just don't think you get a new coach, you're just gonna come in and run the table. You know, there's a lot of psychological stuff going on, different personalities, stuff like that. And with the Packers, I could probably see 10, 11, 12 wins possibly. But you know, everybody got to buy in. You know, and you know, people go up to training camp, they see different things. You know, but you really don't know until you get the players on the field. You know, the other thing I was gonna say is, man, Chuck, the media has gotten soft, man.
In what way?
Sensitive.
In what way?
Soft and sensitive. I mean, people want to celebrate in the end zone or celebrate after a slam dunk or, I don't know, people get mad about this flip in the back. All this emasculated stuff, man. Where's the testosterone, Chuck? Why a lot of these guys see media guys so soft, man, like they're sissies or something, man. You go on Twitter, oh, he shouldn't be doing this, he shouldn't be doing that, I'd be sitting there like, well, some of these guys that's on the mic, they talk ahead, they need to learn how to do some journalism.
No, I hear you, man.
I get, man,
Hey, I'm all, you know me, I'm all for tough, man.
Well, I know you are.
Don't hold these guys accountable, be tough about them. Yeah, of course. Yeah, this stuff about letting, you know, other countries let up on them, I mean, hell with that.
Right. Because I'm going to tell you, if the tables were turned, the mother country could beat the U.S., they would do the same thing.
We've seen hockey in the Olympics.
Ivan Drago killed Apollo Creed, and he said, if he dies, he dies. I mean, yeah no mercy.
Yeah. I've hated Russia since.
The last thing I said about the NBA.
What did you say, Apollo Creed?
Yeah.
Apollo Creed said that, Rocky? I thought it was
Drago. Drago said that after he killed Apollo.
Yeah, Drago said that. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Apollo Creed would never do that. Is this, Chuck, and Ryan. The two best, I don't know where Vegas is getting information from. They must be going to the PS2 or the Xbox convention or something. I don't know. But the two best teams right now I see to win would be the Trailblazers and Denver. Denver gets Michael Porter back. I think they're definitely in the conversation. And Bukovic coming back with Portland. Because they're the two teams that's not really going to be affected by free agency, and they're going to be intact.
Damn, you're going Denver? Hey, what do you think about Denver not wanting to part ways with Jamal Murray, though, to bring in Anthony Davis? Would have done that, or you're cool with that?
Cool
I like Jamal
that.
Murray, but, man, Anthony Davis?
Oh, I'm cool with that because I think what they had built out there.
With Jokic, yeah.
With Jokic and Murray. I think that backcourt is going to be the next top-five backcourt. Harris. And Harris is a tall defender.
Mm-hmm.
He just got to get his confidence back, but Murray's right there. he there, you know. And why break that chemistry up? But I think in basketball, it's hard to get chemistry. This might be the hardest sport to get chemistry because the defense and the offense does the same thing. And one thing I say about basketball, like being a former player myself, is that when you know, over a season, you get to know guys, man. Mm-hmm. Traveling with them, going to practice with them, eat dinner with them, and you bond it. And I don't think you just break that up and just, oh, got this new guy coming in. Nah, it don't work like that. And the Lakers are going to find that out. Lakers are not going to be as good as people think they are. I just don't see it. And the reason I say that, last point, is that if you notice, LeBron was gassed. The pace of the West is fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the East. There ain't no slowdown. It's fast.
Yeah, if you look at his ratings, they're like the lowest of his career, exactly, because he just can't move the same way. He's getting older. He's beat up. He's played like nine full seasons or something like that just through the playoffs.
Well, I mean, the pace of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you come in the game, you got to go.
Right.
You know, and I just don't see in 2 or 3 years the Lakers going to be the Knicks in the West. Watch.
Appreciate the phone call, Ram.
Thanks, Ram.
Have a good week, my man. 414-799-1250. You still got time to jump on with us. Plenty to go here on Chuck and Winkler when we come back. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, it's Chuck and Winkler's Brew Crew Review, brought to you by Bofording Beer. Bofording is Milwaukee's smooth drinking import. Try it at your nearest Total Wine location. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
And that one is hammered. Jesus Aguilar, welcome back. A booming home run for the big man. And the Brewers get the run right back quickly. Number 5 for Aguilar. It has been a slow ride this year, but that one had to feel good for Jesus.
He's had a decent road trip, actually.
Fox Sports Wisconsin, Brian Anderson on the call as the Brewers win 5-3 over the Giants on Sunday to avoid being swept in San Francisco. You're listening to Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Bart off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Ryan Horvath alongside with Chuck Freeman. Brewers win 5-3. Eric Thames, Jesus Aguilar, Freems end up being the heroes. How crazy is this baseball season?
Well, Chase Anderson was not very good.
Awful.
All right. And then when Matt Albers comes in with the bases loaded, oh, man.
We need to start giving him some credit, though. He comes in. I mean, I know that's his job, but
yeah.
Some crappy situations yesterday.
Oh, he's not been very good this year at all. Yeah, no, I'm disappointed in that signing. But Albers came in yesterday, and he got the job done. He got the fly out and got the sack fly, and then got out of the rest of it, including a strikeout there in the inning. So he did walk a batter, but he pitched well. He got out of the jam. And then Garrett came in, did a nice job. Jeffress continues to mow him down.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hader, a two-inning save. Boy, I thought that was great. Saturday's game, they stuck with Jimmy Nelson way too long. When he was having control problems, they should have got him out of there. And he struggled. He couldn't get out of his own way. Because they had a 4-1 lead in that game, and they still battled, and they lost the game 8-7. But would have liked to have taken 2 or 3, but that happens. Hey, that happens even against a crappy team like the Giants. I was telling a guy last Friday, he goes, oh, they're going to San Francisco. Let's get my gas pumped over here on Highway 100. He goes, oh, they're going to San Francisco. That should be a sweep or at least 2 or 3.
Can't do that
I'm like,
anymore.
No, you can't do that in baseball, man. You can't just assume that. I said, no, that's going to be a tough series. He goes, they'll win 2 or 3 at least. Well, they dropped 2 or 3, and they were lucky to win yesterday. Not lucky, but you know they held on. They got 2 innings of a hater, but it could have got away from them in the 5th inning. But you mentioned the 2 home runs in that game. Now they had the San Diego, and Yelich Seen, you know, they put him in a timeout, I feel like, the last couple of weeks.
Lower back strain.
Yeah, but a timeout, too, because he was struggling.
Right. He's 3-7 with a ERA at almost 6 this season.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see what he's got against San Diego. Remember, last year, he pitched in San Diego for the Brewers, and he was not very good. His first start as a Brewer was terrible in San Diego. Brewers came back and won, bailed him out, but he was not good. He's come a long way since, but he has not been great this season. Got to win, you know, again, take 2 or 3 in San Diego. Yeah, I hope you take 2 or 3. You'll see an old friend tonight, too, when they run into Manny Machado.
Yeah, an old buddy. Manny Machado, yeah, who was acquired in the offseason by the Padres. The Padres, I'm not going to lie for him, is not the team I want to run into right now. They're scoring runs at a premium. A lot of that has to do probably with the fact that you just played the Rockies, but did you catch any of that this weekend?
No, but I saw they broke the record.
Yeah, they combined every score, 6,000 runs.
Every score was like 16 to 13. Did you catch any of that on the package?
Yeah, I wish.
That's crazy.
I wish that I had taken the over because I turned the game on. I think it was the third inning and it was 9-8 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, because usually when a game is 16-13, the next day it's 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
But they just kept going on. I mean, one crazy game after another.
And there were some good pitchers that pitched in that four game series. I mean, Marquez was up. I mean, he struggles at home. But yeah, they break the record for runs in a four game series. It was, man, what did they have? 92 runs in a four game series. They won 14-13 yesterday. So I don't know that that's the team that you want to see right now. But then again, I mean, when you're playing in Colorado.
But if you look at the National League, there is not, I feel there's one great team, and that's the Dodgers. But the rest of them are just kind of middle of the pack. And there's not even a crappy team other than the Marlins. Everybody else, the second worst team in baseball the team we just are in the National League, San Francisco. I think only 9 games under the 500 mark.
And that's exactly the point that I had brought up when I was on with Tim Allen and Baby Tausch on the roundtable. I said, you know, not to be cliche, but there's so much parity this season in the National League. And the worst part is when you do finally face off against one of these teams that we quote-unquote circle on the list, like the Marlins, when they came to Miller Park, they were playing their hottest stretch of baseball. That's a team that has been brutal offensively, and they were scoring more runs than they had all year. Even San Francisco, they were on a nice little run, and then you run into them at home on a West Coast trip. So there's just so much parity, and that's what I was saying. We used to... When you're in a pennant race, right, and you're Milwaukee or you're the Cubs or you're St. Louis, you circle each other, right? Like those are the games that you need to win. You need to, or you know that you need to compete. You want to split, let's say, with the Cubs at Wrigley or at home. You want to split with the Cardinals historically, and then you highlight the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Cincinnati Reds, and you say, oh, here's 4 wins, here's 4 wins, here's a sweep. You can't even do that anymore because young pitching. Both teams actually went out and made moves. Both could score runs at times, and both could get dominant pitching in a series and not score any runs. So everything is just kind of up in the air, but there's so much parity in the National League, you can't even count on the crappy teams as wins anymore.
But I feel like baseball's always been that way. Remember last year the Brewers finished a series with Detroit?
I'm with you, but I always, like we always, there was 3 or 4 teams I felt like we knew would be in the running. It was the Yankees and the Indians in the 90s. It was the Braves every year. So I feel like we always knew who the teams were. And I agree with you. Outside of the Dodgers, the National League is kind of a mess. Like, are the Phillies good? We don't know. I don't know if the Cubs are good. The crazy thing about the Cubs is none of these guys have gotten any better since they won a World Series.
Remember the final weekend of the series, of the season, the Brewers faced Detroit in a 3-game series.
Yeah.
They had to fight their ass off to win. The last game they won, they waltzed away with it. But those first 2 games, the Friday and Saturday games, I recovered those games. Those were hard-fought nail-biters that Jeffress closed out the win. Tough, tough games, man. So I just think that when you get to, in Major League Baseball, you know, they were breaking down how the Brewers were through an easy stretch right now of their schedule. I don't look at it that way, man. They're all tough. They are. They're tough. They got the Reds coming here later in the weekend. You can't expect the Reds are going to roll in here and think they're going to get swept. I mean, those are going to be 4 tough games against the team from your division.
Right, and you look at the NL Central, and so obviously Milwaukee 40-31 on the season, a full game over the Cubs, who are 39-32. Cubs 5-5 in their last 10 after going on that hot streak. Brewers 6-4 in their last 10. Then you look and you got the Cardinals. They're 3.5 back. The Reds and the Pirates are only 8 games back in the division, and we're only here, what, June 17th?
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they actually have a shot.
No, they got to get to the 500 mark first.
Right, but they're only 8 games out of the division, and the Pirates are 8 games back after going 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah.
So that's just how crazy and how much parity there is right now in the National League. You know, you brought up that Detroit series, and even the series against, was it Pittsburgh last year? I remember they dropped a doubleheader, because my rule always... Whoever loses game 1 of the doubleheader, I hammer on the betting line in game 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Brewers, like, it looked like the season was over. The Cubs were like 9-1. during that stretch, but that's what I keep telling everybody. There's going to be a stretch where the Brewers will probably lose 8 to 9 games in a row, and everybody's going to freak out. It'll be against bad teams.
Well, they can't lose Chicago. You don't want to lose 8 games in a row. The Brewers are too good to lose 8 games in a row.
It may happen. I mean, you could see it with the Cubs. The Cubs could have a terror. I mean, they head back home, I believe, today to Wrigley Field. But when you go on those road trips and you have the Dodgers, you know, as the second team, as your second stop in L.A., and you're facing off, let's say, against San Francisco, it's so easy to overlook a Giants team when you have Kershaw on the bump against you on a Friday and this guy on a Saturday, that every team is capable of winning a series. And it makes baseball exciting, but it also makes it really frustrating when I'm getting direct messages and people are emailing and tweeting in saying, I don't agree with Craig Counsell's decisions lately, or I don't think this team has enough. I'm like, just settle down, because every team is going through the same crap. Turn on 670 The Score in Chicago. They hate their bullpen, just like the Brewers do. And the fans, I should say.
Well, I mean, their bullpen, they dropped 3 or 4 in Los Angeles. They dropped 2 and 3 in Colorado, too, right? They dropped 2 and 3 in Colorado?
2 and 3, yeah.
So it's been a bad road trip for the Cubs. As it stands, they're still only a game behind the Brewers.
Right.
Look at St. Louis. As much as they've struggled this year,
they're only
3.5 games out of first place.
I agree. I mean, you know they're going to be around when it matters. And it's so easy to write off the Cardinals and say it's a two-team race, but I don't see it that way. 414-799-1250. Still another half hour to go here on a Monday, the Monday after Father's Day. Hopefully everybody made it to work. You're recovering. We got more coming up here. Chuck and Winkler, when we come back, 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins. Bart with the day off. Ryan Horvath here with Chuck Freeman. Not taking the day off. Bart will be back once again tomorrow. We're on for about another 25 minutes, and it's the Bill Michaels Show from 10 to 2, the Wendy's Big Show from 2 to 6. Man, I'm losing my mind a little bit.
Would you rather take a Friday off or a Monday off?
I'd probably go, that's a good question, probably Monday, because you could kind of recuperate from the weekend.
Okay. See, I'd rather take a Friday, but I'm taking a couple of Mondays off this summer.
Okay.
Trying a few things differently. One, we're golfing in a golf outing in Lake Geneva. Another one, we're just taking a load management day, but I'm trying something a little different and trying a couple of Mondays this year. But I always like the Friday to kickstart the weekend.
Yeah.
So got a few Thursday and like this week, I got Thursday and Friday. But I'm going to try, toward the end of August, a Monday here and there.
Yeah, Monday would be nice. Historically, I think everybody always goes Friday or Thursday or Friday, especially in the summertime, because you could get out there, you could golf and kind of start your weekend a little bit early. I know a couple guys in radio. One guy out in Chicago, not sports talk radio, but he's the number one radio personality, and he makes millions of dollars. And I know in the summer he has it in his contract. I believe it used to be every Friday off. Now I think it's every Thursday and Friday, and he goes golfing. And so you pretty much work 3 days in the summer, Monday through Wednesday. And I don't think it gets much better than that.
Oh, no, that's a great deal to have. I mean, have off. I mean, that's what I mean, all we're doing is golfing. We're golfing. We go out of town, golf. Wisconsin, hope we get better weather than this, but golfing during the summer. That's what all my vacation time is spent doing, that and going to concerts. Taking a Friday and a Thursday off is the route I'm going to do, but I'm going to do a couple of Mondays later on in the year.
Also, I like to look at my schedule and see what's coming up. Like, you bring up concerts, and if I'm going to Summerfest, and let's say I want to go see the Killers or I want to see this band, and it's on a Thursday or Friday, mm-hmm. I'd obviously rather have that day off, and then maybe even a Monday to recuperate. If you want to go to Summerfest, it's pretty easy. All you got to do is tweet us at 105.7FM The Fan with the hashtag CW Tickets. How did you spend Father's Day? Best answer we'll pick towards the end of the show, and you will be going to Summerfest and enjoying those shows.
And anytime you go to Summerfest and you got to work the next morning, especially the hours we work, it's always like hanging over your head.
Mm-hmm.
Because we went to see,
REO
to a concert last year. Yeah, not 2 years ago. Sorry, REO. But last year we went to go see, I think, Def Leppard and Journey, I want to say. But then we both had to work the next day. And it's like,
it ruins.
Man.
It's in the back of your mind
the
entire
night. It's in the back
night.
Of your mind, yes.
Yeah.
And when you don't have to work, it's like, oh, man, that's great. But it's always in the back of your mind. Oh, when this is over, you got to go back to work the next morning.
Yeah.
Getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
And it's hard to look for sympathy if you're at a Def Leppard show, because you could be like, yeah, I got to go to work, but look at this guy. He's drumming with one arm, so what's tougher?
Oh, I know, eh? And that guy's been doing it for years, too.
799-1250. Still a little bit of time. You could do a choose-your-own-adventure if you want to talk about Anthony Davis heading over to the Lakers. Who should be the favorite to win the NBA title in 2020? Brewers begin a series with the Padres and Manny Machado tonight. Pre-game and post-game coverage to follow here on The Fan. You could catch Tim Allen tonight, late night, talking some Brewers baseball. And also this one real quick I want to hit on, Frames. We could get to this more later on in the week as this information comes out, but over in Orlando earlier on this week, a key NCAA official says six schools going to be facing allegations of level one violations as early as next month, so probably early July, early August, from the latest fallout in this college basketball corruption scandal. It's Steve Wilcox, guy's the vice president for the NCAA, and he told CBS Sports two high-profile programs will be notified in early July, the others at a later date, I guess, and these violations, we're going to see postseason bans, we're going to see scholarship reductions, and some coaches probably going to lose their jobs as it looks like there's some bribery, a whole lot of bad stuff coming up in college hoops. The FBI has been on the case. We've been hearing about it for years. A lot of weird stuff coming out, like Sean Miller and the wiretapping at Arizona. It looked like he was going to be out. They let him come back last year. He gave like his farewell speech, even though he still has a couple years on his contract. There was the rumors that Kansas is going to be in some trouble, and Bill Self was trying to get himself into the NBA, but the Bulls ended up keeping their head coach. Bill Self will return, it looks like, right now. Are you surprised by any of this?
Oh, no, and I'm surprised that there's not enough. I was surprised, what, six names you said?
Six top schools.
Surprised there's only six.
Two will be notified by as early as next, well, looks like about two
six.
Weeks.
Six. I'm surprised. First of all, Auburn on the list, not surprised.
No.
And that's going to be, if Bruce Pearl, if that was done during Bruce Pearl's watch.
He's going to be coaching in Greece with Rick Pitino, right?
Probably. Yeah, he's done.
Title out there.
He's done. Or as they said in the movie Blue Chips, Bulgaria.
Great movie.
As that guy told, Happy What's-His-Face told Nick Nolte, you're going to be coaching in Bulgaria. That's where creeps like you go.
Yep.
So, he's going to be coaching somewhere else. He's not going to be coaching college ball. That's the last of Bruce Pearl. And Bruce would have done it again.
Oh,
I mean, they've done it again. Here he went to the Final Four, and if they get the Final Four taken away from him, there's no one ever going to take another. He'll never coach again in college basketball.
I'm not surprised at all, and I also, this is going to be a terrible take, but I really don't fault a lot of these guys like the John Calipari's or, some of the bigger names, the Bruce Pearls, that find themselves in the hot water, because I feel like in college hoops today, it's really the only way to survive. Like, we do see the mid-majors more than ever in the NCAA tournament, like the Wichita States. Mm-hmm. A lot of these teams with a good program and a good head coach, mostly a young head coach, and four-year players, sometimes they're better than the one-and-dones because those guys actually have time to gel. They play together for 4 years. So then when they're seniors, they can make a run to the Elite Eight, to the Final Four. But like the players that coach Krzyzewski, the John Shires of the world, like they're not going to win you national championships, unfortunately, in 2019, 2020 system players. So like Coach K, Coach Cal, for them to keep the boosters happy, the guys that are putting the $1 million into the programs, like they have to go out and get these one and dones. And unfortunately, if you're Arizona, you're Duke, you're UConn, like unfortunately, you got to throw them a little something. Hate to say it, but it's the truth.
Well, and it sucks because it shouldn't come down to that.
Mm-hmm.
But it should become, and those programs should be. Should be blackballed. They should they should be discontinued. They should pay heavy fines for having to pay for players. Whoever it is. Now, the great thing about Wisconsin, when they went to the Final Four in 2014 and 2015, they did it with guys who were 3 or 4 year guys.
Yeah, Sam Decker was from Sheboygan. I don't think you had to throw him a Maserati to bring him over.
Well,
right?
Frank Kaminsky was staying there for 4 years.
Nobody even knew who he was.
Yeah. No, he was staying there for 4 years. But see, that's how you win. When Marquette went on their run in 2003, sure, they had Dwayne Wade and my guy Travis Diener, who was another 4 year guy.
Right.
But he was in a sophomore year at the time. You had other guys who were veterans in that program. You had other guys in that program, veteran players. So I think that's why you see some of these mid-majors go, because some of these guys have been around for 3 or 4 years in the program.
Yep.
They're 22 years old, playing against 18-year-olds.
Right. No, I completely agree. I mean, look at what Michigan State beat Duke in the NCAA tournament. Was Michigan State a more talented team than Duke? Hell no. Duke's got three top 10 players in Cam Reddish, mm-hmm. RJ Barrett, and Zion Williamson, but they'd only played together for like 3-4 months, maybe a little bit in AAU ball here and there, but they didn't play in that system for 3 to 4 years. So I agree with you on that, but everybody wants the one and dones, all the boosters. You know, I'm sure John Calipari or Coach Krzyzewski's probably got like 20 to 25 guys when there's a Zion playing in AAU saying, you got to bring him here.
I would think, though, if you're a fan of your team, mm-hmm. you want 3 or 4 year guys, 2 or 3, because you want to get some familiarity with these guys. I think part of the beauty of college basketball is watching this guy from a freshman to a senior year growing.
I agree.
And this is the way college basketball used to be. I mean, watching a guy get better. I mean, there was a time when freshmen weren't even allowed on the varsity team.
Right.
All right? So you had to start off as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. All right? And well, hey, when Magic Johnson left after his sophomore year from Michigan State, that was a big deal. Guys leaving after a sophomore year, that was unheard of.
Remember when Elton Brand left Duke? He was the first player to ever do it, and everybody was like, even Krzyzewski has to go and get one and dones because he kept losing in the tournament. Finally, he's like, I got to get William Avery, Elton Brand, Shane Battier, who did stay for 4 years, but he had to go out and get the 5-star guys.
Yeah, but I mean, I think as college basketball fans, we want to see our guys stay there.
Yeah.
For 3 or 4 years, 3 years at least, so we can develop a program and get some familiarity, watch these guys grow a little bit as players, but you can't see that. One and done in Kentucky, guys there for a couple of months, players are there, and then they got a whole new team next year.
Right, it's like you never even knew the guy. Exactly, yeah. I agree. That's why I like going, when my uncle was coaching with the athletic director over in Ripon, I'd go watch those teams because you got to know the guys, and you know the program. You know the offensive system. You're not changing your offense every year.
Yeah, the state conference, the WEAC. I mean, those guys are there for 4 years. If you're fans of that, okay, maybe the basketball level's not Division One. Of course it's not. But at least if you're fans of those programs, you're going to see guys who are going to be there for a few years.
799-1250, still about 15 minutes to jump on. It's Chuck and Winkler. When we come back to close out the show, I'll tell you why I believe the Bucks may have already won the offseason in the Eastern Conference. Here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan. Final couple minutes of the show. Ryan Horvath filling in today for Bart Winkler along with Chuck Freeman. And new show producer filling in for me, who's filling in for Bart, Nick Bodie, here to tell us what we missed today. Nick, how is it going here on a Monday?
Bodie did a nice job.
Well, gentlemen, good to be with you on this morning. It would be nice to take a load management day, but we're not all in that veteran status like Bart is. So
load management?
So here, well,
you're just starting out in this business.
You know, Chuck,
you should be playing every
10 years,
day.
Yeah.
Chuck, I had a couple brewery tours on Saturday, and then my buddies and I decided to polish off a bottle of Tullamore Dew when we got back home. I'm not sure I've fully recovered yet.
Okay.
But I got some stories. A little bit of Irish whiskey.
But the private life has nothing to do with load management, your work.
No, exactly.
Load management has to do with, you know, grinding every day.
Heck yeah. So, boys, some interesting news off Twitter this weekend. OJ Simpson got a Twitter, and he joined Friday night. He now has 632,000 followers. His first tweet basically was a video saying, I've got a little bit of getting even to do. So people were kind of freaked out about that. But he's been talking about everything from that. Last night he dropped a video saying he never slept with Kris Jenner. Guy's kind of all over the place. Were you guys following this over the weekend?
Yeah. With OJ?
Yeah.
I haven't followed OJ since he was...
In the Bronco?
Bronco, the white Bronco, yeah.
You weren't the only one following him.
That was last night. That was last night I was following him, yes.
I was like, what year is it? OJ Simpson's trending.
Twitter gets weirder and weirder, but this weekend it took a very weird turn. So I thought there was a bunch of parody accounts coming out, right? With OJ Simpson.
OJ?
Yep.
Yeah. But then he actually had a video where he was like, yo, all these parody accounts are out there, so now I'm going to make my own account to set the record straight. And like Bodie said, when your first tweet is about revenge, probably not the best choice. And then just the stuff he was tweeting out was really weird, like the Kris Jenner stuff, especially after that story came out a couple weeks back, which was a little bit too much information. So not only is OJ back on Twitter, then Bill Cosby's on Twitter as well, tweeting this week, and I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, are these real accounts? Are these parody accounts? Probably not the two people that... Do they have PR guys anymore?
So why was he trying to... What record was he trying to set straight?
I think he's a murderer. I don't know.
Oh, is that what he's trying to... That? He's still...
I don't know, man.
He better like that. Hey, he's out of prison. he better leave well enough alone at this point.
Yeah, he said he's going
to be digging up any old bones.
He said he'll cover everything from, you know, his takes on the modern league. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll talk about fantasy football, whatever. But I have yet to see that. So we'll see how that one goes.
Hashtag OJ knows fantasy. Maybe we get him on the show. Friend of show.
Yeah, another weird thing that I saw trending that I never thought I would was that the Patriots were pursuing tampering charges against another NFL team. But after filing those charges against Houston last week for attempting to hire their director of player personnel, Nick Caserio, the Patriots agreed to drop the charges when the Texans say they would stop pursuing Caserio. The Texans CEO, Cal McNair, said the team had contacted the league office. They thought they were in compliance. They were very sorry. And Bill Belichick said, yeah, sure, I've tried that line on them myself. Good luck, bud.
Oh, I don't know. How far is that going to go?
The irony of the Patriots trying to get anybody else in trouble for tampering or anything else is just...
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
Amazing, right?
It's beyond me.
So there's that, and then something else I never thought I would see was Greg Gard landed two in-state players.
Somehow twins, I knew you mentioned this.
He missed on the Hauser brothers, but he wound up landing the Davis brothers. So after going two full recruiting cycles without getting an in-state prospect, Badger basketball did get commitments from Johnny and Jordan Davis from La Crosse Central High School. They orally committed. Johnny, a little bit more talented, 6'5 wing player, averaging 23 points per game. 9.3 rebounds, chose UW over Marquette, Iowa, Minnesota, and West Virginia. So the Davis brothers coming to UW.
Okay, now the problem is the other brother on that duel is not very good.
I was going to say, is that like the deal, like to get twins, you have to take the crappy one?
It kind of...
It's like the with the Marquette did that with the Ellensons. Not the twins, they're not twins, but you know they took the other brother, transferred from Minnesota, he wasn't very good. And just so we can get Hank.
Is this like just Greg Gard trying to get himself off the hot seat by saying, like, I will land two brothers by the end of this summer. This is going to happen.
Yeah, but one of them is not very good. One of them is a football player.
Yeah.
The other one is better in football than he is in basketball.
Well, Jordan was looking at taking, at doing some football scholarships as well, but I don't think I'm not quite sure the offers were there. UW was his only D1 offer for basketball.
Now, I heard the one brother is pretty good, okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, landing a pair of twins from La Crosse doesn't exactly get the wheels spinning, you know what I'm saying?
Chuck, who's on a bigger hot seat this year, Greg Gard or Wojo, if they don't win a tournament game?
Oh, I think they both are. Wojo. Well, now Wojo's got a 5-year contract.
How?
He's got a 5-year extension, man. Because he's won how many NCAA tournament games?
More than one?
Zero. Over and under one.
Yeah,
zero.
No doubt.
Okay, and Greg Gard, well, yeah, he's got to start winning. So I think Greg is on the hot seat. Neither one of them are, though, I think, coming up after the season.
No, not in those. Not there. But no. I got to give Greg Gard some props to tell you guys the truth. I've been trying to pull twins for the last 32 years, and if I had to take, you know, one Duff to pull twins, I would do it, too.
You want twins?
Who doesn't?
Oh, my God. I wouldn't. Twins? You want twins for kids?
Not what he's talking about, player.
No. I meant as like companions, maybe for an evening to hang out.
Oh, I thought you meant you and your wife were trying to have twins.
No, I was talking like the show Sister, like Tia and Tamara.
Oh, you're a sick man, Horvy. You made it this far, now the real you is coming out.
No. In great Father's Day, and I love my kid, but I may be done after one. 5 years old is a...
Oh, you're gonna have the surgery?
Man. Well, if I do, I'll do it during the NCAA tournament, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
I knew a guy who had that surgery, and it went wrong for him.
Did he? Why? He had an
ice pack.
How wrong?
He had an ice pack on a sack for 3 months.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And really?
He still does, yeah.
Ice pack on the sack.
Already.
Ice pack on the sack was the name of my band in college.
Yeah.
Was it really?
No.
No. No. God, no. See, I'm to a point where I don't need that done anymore.
So, Bodie, now that we got you in the room, Anthony Davis to the Lakers, I know a lot of people were expecting it. I think it's huge for the Bucks because I was worried that the Celtics were going to land Anthony Davis. All we've heard about are those draft picks, the young talent, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I'm happy that he's going out west, or staying west, I should say. And now, this rumor's been going around, but once again, just pops up on my Twitter feed that the Lakers are expected to be major players in trying to land Kawhi Leonard. Personally, guys, I think he's his own man. I don't think Kawhi wants to play with LeBron James, wants to play with Anthony Davis. I think if he does leave to go west, he's going to be a Clipper playing in Doc Rivers' system. Yep. I just don't see him sharing the basketball. He's too ball dominant. He wants to play with the ball in his hands. However, if the Lakers do get him, wrap up the next five
chips. He is ball dominant, but I think he also has become one of these guys. He likes putting players in position to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he sounds like a very selfish guy. But I think Kyrie, he tried to do that Boston in this last playoff series, putting his guys in positions, and it didn't work out. They tried to carry the team himself, and that wasn't going to work. So, no, I think he does. I think Kyrie realizes that he is, he's going to get his points, but it also helps that he's on a championship-level team with two other good players.
Yeah, I don't.
I think I can see him going to the Lakers. I really can.
I was talking about Kawhi Leonard. You mean Kyrie,
oh,
right?
I mean Kyrie, yes.
Kyrie. No, I was talking Kawhi Leonard. There's rumors now that that's who the Lakers are going to actively pursue. LeBron wants to play with them. Anthony Davis obviously wants to play with them.
With Kyrie?
No, with Kawhi Leonard.
Well, I saw on Twitter Kyrie.
No, this is Kawhi now.
Oh.
Yeah, the Lakers are going to be players. They're very interested in trying to land Kawhi Leonard, not Kyrie.
I think they should. I think Kyrie would be a better fit.
I do too, but I think Kyrie's going to Brooklyn.
He's got three guys who are going to want to shoot the basketball with Kawhi, AD, and LeBron.
Right. I'm all for getting Kawhi out west, though. Hopefully, yep, with the Clippers.
Get out of the Eastern Conference.
Or anywhere else. Another team like nobody's talking about that has a lot of money to spend, but the market sucks. The Pacers have a bunch of money. And they have a good young core. Now, is Oladipo going to be the same player after the injury? Sabonis, though? Yeah. You have some good pieces there. Miles Turner. Do you think they have a shot? Because they have tons of money.
Unless Reggie Miller's walking through that door again, I'm not worried about it.
What about Chris Mullins? Or Rick Smits, the Flying Dutchman?
The Duncan Dutchman, you mean? Yes. Yeah, if that core is coming back, then I'd worry about it again, especially if I were the Knicks, but I'm not worried about it.
I mean, Chris Mullin did get fired from St. John's, so maybe he's coming back. Maybe he'll come back for the Warriors, one of the OG Warriors.
Huh? Brewers back in action tonight as they take on the
Padres.
Old friend Manny Machado. We'll have pregame coverage and postgame coverage with Tim, the Franchise Allen. Bill Michaels back. He's up 10-2. Chuck, thanks for having me. Bart will be back tomorrow.
Did a good job. You'll be back tomorrow.
Crew, yep. Never fear. It's Chuck and Freeman, 105. Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM. Bam.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.